Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Thanks, Henry. Yeah. I'm just going to be doing what I'm teaching here right now, so that's the easiest thing for me. I'm doing the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and I actually started again from the beginning. So I'll share that with the devotees and put it in context. Okay, reading from Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita, chapter one, book one, chapter one, text 61. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Narada Uvacha. Tvam Sri Krishna Kripa Patram. Yasye Dregraja Vaibhavam. Saloka Guna Dharmata. Jnana Bhakti Bir Anvitam. Sri Narada said, "You are the real recipient of Sri Krishna's mercy. After all, your kingdom is so opulent. It has the best citizens endowed with the most excellent character, religiousness, prosperity, knowledge, and devotion to God." Commentary: a sure sign of a ruler's virtue is the good qualities of his subjects. People of this kingdom were not merely decorated with a veneer of culture, actually civilized according to Vedic standards. The good citizens did their prescribed duties responsibly. They contributed to the general welfare by working, each as he was able, to introduce Krishna conscious practices everywhere. Abandoning pride and other godless tendencies, they gave charity by feeding sannyasis and hungry people, used extra wealth for offerings in worship of the Lord, and studied the Vedic scriptures, from which they learned the value of liberation in devotional service. The people became inspired to become pure devotees of the Lord. Thus they realized all the goals of human life: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, and pure Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadhamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Vaibhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, greetings from Sridham Mayapur, the land of magnanimity. Mercy means you're getting something beyond what you can pay for it or what you've earned. And that's really the case here in Mayapur. It's really extraordinary. Actually, not the Monday morning reading that's going to come up tomorrow for you guys, but the one I'm going to work on for the following week is going to be called the Land of Magnanimity. So, quite happy here. The few people that are here, I'll be teaching tomorrow, but the few people that are here, I finished the chapters 6 and 7, and now I went back to the beginning. So maybe the next few days I'll do this. But of course, this is written by Sanatana Goswami. I think he wrote it in Chakleshwar Mahadev in Govardhan. And I was very fortunate to live in the place where the present book and commentary by Gopi Pranadana, with the editing of Jagvaita Maharaj and Keshava Bharti Maharaj. I was right there actually when they were doing the work and meeting and honing the editing. So I feel fortunate in that regard. But it's a very, very interesting book. It's a masterpiece from every angle imaginable. I don't know if I'll go into that now, but basically the story starts with a great sage, Jaimini Rishi, who's mentioned in the Gita. Maybe Krishna says some sages on Jaimini, I'm not sure, but he was entrusted by Vyasadeva with the Samaveda, which of all the Vedas is the most important. Yeah, it's mentioned like that. So he's teaching Janamejaya, I think the son of Arjuna, the son of Maharaj Prikshit, excuse me, the son of King Janamejaya, the son of Maharaj Prikshit. And he just taught him a Mahabharata, but not the Mahabharata. This Mahabharata just means great history, but not the Mahabharata that is available now, and not the Mahabharata that he heard before. So he's quite astounded by that, as I'm astounded by reading the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He's quite astounded by that, and he wanted to know if there was a commentary on it, Akila. It means a kind of a summary on it, just as the Hari Vamsa is a commentary on the original Mahabharata. He wanted to know if there was some kind of commentary, because it was a different version of the Mahabharata. I think one thing you have to understand about scripture is the scripture is not just the form in which we have received it, it's the message that it communicates. And that message can be communicated in different forms. I guess I'm just repeating myself here. Like we have the Bhagavatam in 18,000 verses, but it was spoken to Brahma in 4 verses. And then we have Bhagavatam. We have what Prabhupada gave us, which is not just 18,000, it is 18,000 verses, but his commentaries are also the Bhagavatam. And we see that sometimes if different people that are qualified give classes on the same verse, they may explain the same message in different ways. So the text is really the message, not just the form in which you receive it. Of course, That form is also the message. So he heard the Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, in another form. But this form was really exceptional because Vedaishya Sarveham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Vid Veda Vid Eva Chaham. Krishna says of all the Vedas, I am to be known. So that's really the full manifestation of the Vedas, that there is a supreme, and it's such a significant point, there is a supreme personality of Godhead, and constitutionally we are part of that supreme personality of Godhead, and we are meant for service. That's the essence, but that is a very threatening message to our material consciousness called false ego or a desire for superiority. That's material consciousness, is the desire for superiority. Spiritual consciousness is the desire for service, which is in one sense opposite. Oh, 1 second. Yeah. So, because of that fact that material consciousness is so rooted in false ego, the greatest affront to the false ego is Krishna is God, accept it, that there is a supreme absolute reality. And there's a resistance to that from one who is immersed in material consciousness. There is a resistance to that. So it's not always presented in directly. Even the concept of impersonalism is a philosophy that may be presented in the Vedas to help people transcend without confronting their ego as powerfully as the fact that that superiority is not something which is just homogeneous mass, which actually in one sense is not superior, but it's actually a person. And that person is Krishna. And so he heard a Mahabharata where, unlike the Mahabharata that we have, the position of Krishna is not just auxiliary. I mean, of course, there's the Bhagavad Gita within the Mahabharata that we have, but it was much more powerfully presented throughout and therefore much more enlivening. It's like the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's so sweet. It's just so sweet. There's nothing like hearing directly about Krishna in the proper way. It's sweet, and we want sweetness, and sweetness is relationship and affection. And the highest relationship and affection is with God. And the sweetest object of devotion, the most worthy object of devotion, is the supreme. Krishna actually means what? All attractive. So was very enamored by this, and he asked Jaimini Rishi if there is a way to explain this message of Krishna, you know, in kind of an abbreviated form, you know, like to make the creme de la creme, the cream of the cream. Yeah, can you really just extract that for me? And then he tells a story of, yes, there is something that can present Krishna in the creme de la creme, the cream of the cream. You know, present not just present Krishna, but present the absolute sweetness of Krishna. And then he gives the background of that. And the background of that is very interesting, that his father, Maharaj Prickett, we know the story of Mahabharata, he was cursed to die. We know the story of Maharaj Prickett, he was cursed to die. The Bhagavatam, he was cursed to die in 7 days by a snake bird. And when he heard that, he said, Sadhu Mene. That is good, because it will detach me from material life. It will alleviate the reaction from my mistake, and it won't go to the family. He gave some other reason, but he said, Sadhu Mene. I think that is good. I think that is good. So, as we know, he went to prepare himself, and all the spiritual all-stars of the world came. The king is about to die. And then the self-effulgent Acharya Sukadeva Goswami came and answered his question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? What he is not, what should he not do? And after he heard it and listened to it, and it was dialectic, he was ready now to fix his mind on Krishna. Which means you have the right determination and you have the right attitude. You have the right intellect and you have the right emotion. For perception to be full, you have to have the right attention, you have to have the right emotion. And then when attention is full, you experience the object. You don't experience things fully if you're not attentive to it. That's why in the morning, as a mode of goodness, our mind is clear, we're more attentive, we experience things more deeply. Vaisheshika Prabhu gave a nice quote, where attention goes, energy flows. And this is the essence of bhakti. To have the right attitude and have the right determination to focus on God, and then you'll feel that. You can be in the temple and you can look at the deities, but if you're focused, then you will feel the energy of love between you and the object which you have a natural relationship with. When you have a natural relationship with someone, whether it's a friend, a lover, a parent, a child, when you have a proper relationship and you are attentive to it, you feel that connection. There is an energy that flows that is the energy of satisfaction called love and devotion that everyone is seeking. And without that kind of energy in one's life, one suffers more than anything else. The most healthy thing for the human being, physically, mentally, spiritually, are the appropriate relationships. Well, let's just say the material platform, the proper relationships in your life, feeling that energy in your life appropriately. And we know when we don't have that energy in life, we are screwed up. Unless you have that connection with God. But even that connection with God, sometimes it can be affected by our relationship in the world. I wrote about that very interesting fact that, you know, the four horsemen of atheism, Dennett, Dawkins, Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, Dennis Dennett, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, the four horsemen of new atheism. The one has already passed away. But they were the ones that were attacking the concept of God. All had problems with their father, as did Hume. David Hume, as did Marx, as did Freud, as did Sartre, as did Camus, all famous atheists. So now he had heard this philosophy to gear him to the essence of all spiritual practice and attainment, to think of Krishna and not forget him. That's the essence of all our rules. To focus on God by sadhana, by practice, which means concentration over a period of time, without interruption, and in the right mood. Because not only is it our satisfaction, that flow of energy, but it's God's satisfaction. That is the existential principle of satisfaction called Ladini Shakti, the pleasure of potency, the essence of which is Krishna Prema. Through the class, I'll be sipping tea. So he heard, and now he is ready to implement what he's heard, although by hearing the Bhagavatam, he was already doing that. But now he's ready. In fact, the whole Bhagavatam is based on Vyasadev experiencing Krishna by focusing on him. He wanted to write the Bhagavatam, so he had to have experience of the, and what is that essence? Bhakti yogena manasi. He linked his mind Samyak Pranayatamala. Without any distraction, he linked his mind in devotional service. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranayate Malay, without any distraction. Without any distraction. Samyak Pranayate Malay. And then what happened? Apashyat Purusham Purnam, he saw God. He saw the Bhagavatam. And therefore he can write about it. But what is the Bhagavatam? It's that vision you will have from focusing your mind on God. And you'll see God. And you'll feel God. You'll experience God. Anyway, I want to get back to the story. So what happened was, he was ready, and as he was ready to focus, then his mother came. I was giving a class, and I joked, if, you know, that was me and my mother came. Like, I go, not now, not now. So he had a little sense of that, not now, but his mother was saying, I'm not just coming because I'm your mother. Because I'm attracted to get what you got. So then what Marge Prickett agreed, he agreed to do that. He agreed to do that. His mother, and summarize the Bhagavatam on his last day before he gets bit by the snake bird and leaves his body. So again, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the same message of the Bhagavatam in a different form. But even the form is similar in the way that the Bhagavatam is a progression of degrees of perfection in our relationship with Krishna. It seems like an oxymoron. It seems it's a contradictory statement, progression of perfection, because perfection means you've reached the... You reach the summum bonum, the thing. But spiritual perfection, you know, we have this concept of perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. The only way I can explain it in a reasonable way is there are different relationships that that a person may have. Each relationship may be perfect, but one relationship may have elements of freedom and intimacy that make that relationship superior. I'll give you an example. You may have like a really good friend, and it may be perfect friendship. But you may have a loving mother. These days, it's more likely to have an intimate friend and a loving mother. But I'm thinking, you know, in these Indian families that sometimes I go to, in Delhi, I stay with this one family, and they had a huge house in Delhi. And they had a simple mother on one of the floors. has four brothers. One brother didn't work. The older brother's job was just sit with the mother. And the love that they have for the mother, the energy they feel. But it doesn't mean the friendship can't be perfect, or someone may have a romantic relationship and they have even more intimacy and freedom than the relationship with the mother. So in the same way, in relationship to God, there are relationships with more intimacy and freedom coming up to Krishna's relationship with the gopis, what to speak of Radha. So the Bhagavatam has that progression, just like from the seventh canto, Prahlad, to the ninth canto, Hanuman, to the tenth canto, Yasoda and Krishna and Radha. There's a progression. But the purpose is to explain the ultimate. Somehow, the ultimate. So that's what the Bhagavatam does. The 10th canto is the head of the Lord, the rasa dance is a smiling face, etc. So the Brihad Bhagavatam is the same story, the same message, and the same philosophical story, but in a different form. And it's Narada searching for the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy in the same level of progression of different devotees. So it begins at the Kumbh Mela. In fact, the half Kumbh Mela is coming up in Allahabad. It's no longer Allahabad, now it's Prayagraj. The chief minister of UP is actually a Mahant or a sadhu named, and he's dressed as a sadhu, and he's the chief minister. It's very far out. His name is Yogi Adityanath. And a lot of nice things are happening. A lot of nice things are happening. Well, he changed, and he actually officially changed the name from Allahabad. The king of all, pilgrimage places practically. It's Prayag Raj. It's where the Triveni is. The Ganga, the Saraswati, and the Jamuna, they cross at one point, and that's considered so sacred. So that now it's Prayagraj. He also did nice things too. I know in Govardhan, they have closed Govardhan Parikram to traffic. It's wonderful. And they made a ring road a little distant from Govardhan, it goes all the way around. So you can park and take these electric cars. That's nice. Banned plastic bags in Vrindavan. That's pretty far out. But anyway, this has been going on, and he's actually promoting the art or half Kumbh Mela. They expect 70 million people there. It's a pretty amazing thing. But anyway, Narada was at the Kumbh Mela and he had bathed in that Triveni, and my God, is that spiritually enlivening. And then he was before the deities of Bindu Madhava, before the deities. I feel like so much. connection. Yes, connection. That energy, feeling that energy of love, his heart opened up because his attitude is faithful. And faith opens your heart to the experience you have faith in. And he has the faith in the experience of reality, which is God. And he feels that incredible energy. Wow. How wonderful. And he's with the other sadhus and they're feeling the same way. And when one feels that energy, one becomes humble. The reason why one becomes humble is because it's so good, you realize you can't earn it. So it makes you look at yourself and feel, it's a wonderful feeling, I can't earn this, I'm not deserving. So it makes you look at your lack of qualification. While pride tries to find your the opposite. So mercy makes one feel very humble and happy in that position of service. So all the sages are in that mood. And because their hearts are so pure with that love, and there's such an intense hankering for God, it almost creates a hunger for God that makes them feel, even though they're experiencing that prema devotion, it makes them feel that I don't have it. It's like a hunger. When you're hungry, you don't have food. Really want God, somehow or other, that energy of love makes you, that prema makes you feel you don't have it. Even in the presence of God. So they're all praising each other. They're seeing the qualities of others. I think that's a very natural feeling for a spiritual person. A deeply spiritual person who really has some bhav, some devotion, doesn't inherently feel he has it, but sees it in others, even if they don't have it. It just gives you a loving lens. A loving lens turned to oneself makes one feel they don't have devotion. And when turned to others, see their good qualities. So they're all praising each other. It's so nice to be in a Vaishnav society. You know, I have a little experience of that in Govardhan during the summer, during the Kartik. There's about 25, 30 devotees there, and they're reading the Bhagavatam together 5 hours a day. And the relationships are very pure. There are leaders there, but they're very, very considerate of others. And, you know, and there are disciples there that are very, very respectful. And even some women living nearby, even though it's a brahmachari ashram, I have a place in Govardhan. I have an extra two apartments that I'm able to use. And two ladies came for the month. And they went to Mangalarti. They came to the temple. And it's very strict brahmachari, but they never felt unwelcome. Just at night, of course, women can't stay there. They can come to the sad. They never felt the relationships when there's a prominence and focus on God by chanting and hearing His glories. There's a respect for everyone and an appreciation for everyone. And it's really wonderful, actually, to stay in that kind of company. It's really wonderful. Because generally, it's rare in this world, even in the society of devotees, you know, to get people that are just constantly, you know, so it's the leadership there. Like Sheshika Prabhu, Keshav Bharti Maharaj. It's the leadership there that sets that standard. Anyway, I had a little taste of it. Where no malice. Nirmatsaranam satam. That's the qualification of the Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaitavo cha paramo nirmatsaranam satam. The Bhagavatam is for people without any malice. And it creates that kind of heart. Yes. So then what happens is, I'll get to today's story. It's kind of interesting on Sunday. I have to start my next Monday morning greetings, the next challenge. So Narada, while he's doing this, he sees the chief Brahmin of the area come with his entourage, and he starts to worship the deity, and the descriptions of this person's consciousness, to the extent when he is finished distributing all the prasadam to the insects, to the animals, to the dogs, to the dog eaters, then he takes, and his consciousness is, if there is benefit from this, let it go to you, my Lord. He doesn't even want any benefit. And of course, Narada goes to him, but he's in that bhav of devotion. So he doesn't see himself. He sees himself as one of the countless insignificant souls in relationship to God. I'm not great, but I have great value. I'm not great, but I have great value in that I am the servant of something great. And then he points to this king, and that's the next part of the story here. Because Narada goes to this king and describes what his kingdom is like, and that's what it's described here. The citizens are just so satisfied and responsible and so not selfish and do all their duties. They charity and they feed hungry people. And any extra wealth they have, they worship the deities and everything's so prosperous. And obviously the king has to get credit. I once wrote an article on ISKCON's greatest deficiency. It wasn't bashing ISKCON, but it was making a point. If there is a weakness in any center, it is the culture. And the culture is not what you say it is. It's what people feel and see when they come, especially what they feel. That's what the culture is. So Narada came and saw the lavish worship and how the whole kingdom was dedicated to God and what the quality of the citizens were. They had the best citizens. Good progeny, good source. Good progeny, good source. The leader creates the culture. That's what a leader does. And therefore, if there's a good culture, it reflects the leader. Because it's so devotional, he says, you are the topmost. And then we'll see. And Narada embracing him again and again. But the king had bent down by the weight of the embarrassment of praise. His head bowed down by the weight of the embarrassment of praise. Vaishnav. So this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this is also the essence of the Bhagavatam. As St. Augustine said, there are three most prominent qualities of spiritual life. He said, humility, humility, humility. And that's what it is in Bhagavatam. And humility is to happily and willingly accept that there's an authority greater than yourself. Okay, I'll end here. Because, you know, maybe when I speak in America, it'll be in the morning, it'll be easier to go a little bit longer. So anybody have any questions? Or a few people could say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah. Hare Bhagya. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Maharaj. It's Betty.
Betty, thanks for coming on. Gail, thanks for coming on. Great. Anybody else like to come on? Say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Tota Gopinath here.
Okay, Tota Gopinath, I heard. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Mukunda.
Mukunda? Okay. Radha. Kishori Radha. Priya, you there, Priya? Okay.
She's still sleeping.
What?
She's still sleeping, actually.
Oh.
Today she's sleeping in a little bit.
Okay. It's I asked for means she usually comes. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Lee,
and then who else?
Sri Gandharvika.
Sri Gandharvika, great.
Ingrid.
Who else? Ingrid, wonderful. Our community is growing. Okay. Who else?
Hare Bol Maharaj, it's Janine.
Janine, okay, great. A few more? I know there's more out there because I have the numbers of participants. You can see that that's there. So anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, it's Sri Rupa.
Sri Rupa. Great.
Hi, Balma.
Thank you. Good. Who else? Okay, we can end now. And I'll well, one thing, let me try to just put on the video and see how that works. Can you see me?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody like to say hello, then I'll see them. Hi, Bo. Someone say hello, I'll be able to see them. Okay. Everybody's shy today. Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. Greetings from Sri Dhammayapur.